This is Science Friday. I'm John Dankosky. Google already dominates online search and email. It has driverless cars and smartphones, wearable tech, and wind energy. It even has a project to deliver internet service by balloon. But its newest venture is all about you, about your blood, your tears, your breath, and let's not forget your DNA. Google wants to assemble all this data into a picture of human health, take a census of what normal means in terms of genes and proteins and biomarkers, a baseline of human health, a project that is called Baseline Study. It sounds simple enough, but is it really? Are today's algorithms really sophisticated enough to tease out nuances of human biology, to discern disease from millions of data points? Are we on a collecting data spree without knowing exactly what to do with all of this data? Dr. Sam Gambier is a professor at Stanford University in Palo Alto, California, and a collaborator on the Google Baseline Project. Tell us more. Welcome to Science Friday, Dr. Gambier.
Thanks for having me.
And Jason Moore is with us, a professor of genetics and director of the Institute for Quantitative Biomedical Sciences at Dartmouth College in New Hampshire. Welcome to Science Friday, Dr. Moore.
Thanks. Great to be here.
And if you're ready for Google to get your health information, you want to be part of the Baseline Study, we want to hear from you. 844-724-8255. That's 844-SCI-TALK. If you're on Twitter, you can tweet us at SciFry. So, Sam Gambier, you're collaborating with Google on this Baseline Study. Tell us a bit about the goals of the project. What are you trying to do?
Yeah, so this is an exciting study that's in its early phases still, but the goals are really to study, as you said, human health. As you know, the focus of many studies is to understand disease, but we've paid very little attention as a medical and scientific community on understanding human health. What is it that characterizes our healthy state, and how do we monitor diseases in their very earliest phases as we transition from health to disease? And so the goals are really to start to measure many parameters, many more parameters than have been ever measured before, about a given individual and of many individuals over time, and to put that information together eventually to see if we can understand how we transition from health to disease.
There have been a number of genome sequencing projects in the last few years. How is this different? How is this new?
I think one of the key differences is the scope of this project goes well beyond the genomic sequencing of a given individual. So it's really going to look at the proteome, the metabolome. It will also look at the microbiome and many other features of a given individual. And so the multiplexing level of this particular study is very high. And that, we hope, will give us more informed decision-making for decades yet to come.
So, Jason Moore, what do you think of this whole project, about this idea? Because it sounds pretty big, and it could yield some pretty interesting results. What do you think?
Well, first of all, let me say, as a data scientist, I'm very excited about the Google Baseline Study. I love data. I love big data. I especially love big data collected to address really complex problems like those in healthcare. But the collection of data, while it's an important endeavor, it should not be an end in itself. The central challenge, of course, is the size of big data, and I have no doubt that Google has the technology and know-how needed to capture and manipulate all of this data. But the key for converting big data to information and information to knowledge is the scientific questions that are posed. Do you ask simple questions of a very complex problem, such as human health, or do you ask tough questions that embrace the complexity we know is there?
So these simple questions you're saying on something that's very, very complex, are you worried it's not going to get us to the next place we need to get to maybe solve some of the big problems in human health, Jason?
That's right. So, for example, it's common now to measure a million or more pieces of genetic information in a human population, and we've been through this exercise for many, many different diseases over the last 10 years. But the approach that's been taken is to step through all of this genetic information one piece by piece to ask whether they individually predict who's at risk for disease. This is a very efficient approach to the problem, but produces very simple results. The problem is that the approach ignores the complexity for common diseases such as cancer and cardiovascular disease and schizophrenia that we know is there.
If you have questions about this Google Baseline Project, you can call us at 844-724-8255. That's 844-SCI-TALK. Sam Gambier, in a project like this, just building a basic picture of human health, how exactly do you find what you're looking for if you're not sure what you're looking for in the first place?
Yeah, I think it's an important series of questions, and I think part of it is that it is broken into many different hypotheses. So some hypotheses that are, you know, around the variation of certain biomarkers. So unlike the genomic sequencing projects, a lot of the biomarkers that are going to be studied here have variation. So, for example, how much does a protein vary in its level in the normal population? So series of specific sub-hypotheses drive the larger understanding of human health. So I don't want to give the impression that you can just measure all these things without asking specific questions. Very specific questions are being asked, and those questions will hopefully inform us, especially about the levels of different biomarkers, how they vary, and that will hopefully help us understand what those biomarker levels are in the disease state. It is a complex problem because it is so many measurements, but unlike just measuring the human genome in a given individual and in many individuals, this is being thought through very early on with specific hypotheses to test in order to hopefully have a much better study design and be informed in the long run.
One of the things we're wondering about, Jason Moore, something like cancer or schizophrenia, something that's very complex, could it be caused by so many variables that even with a lot of data, we couldn't possibly find the contributing factors?
That's certainly a possibility. There was a recent study on schizophrenia published in Nature just this last week looking at more than 100,000 human subjects. They identified 128 genetic risk factors. But those 128 genetic risk factors only explain about 7% of the risk in schizophrenia. So this was a very large genomic study and just touching the tip of the iceberg. So we have a lot to learn about these diseases. And it's my opinion that we need to be thinking about the complexity. We need analytical tools that embrace the complexity of the problem. We're really looking at many genetic risk factors, many environmental factors, all of those things working together in a complex way to determine an individual's trajectory toward a complex clinical endpoint like schizophrenia.
What are the analytical tools that we need that we don't have?
Well, let me give you an example. The process by which you look at combinations of genetic and environmental factors is really a combinatorial modeling problem. So let's say, for example, you were looking for a combination of five genes or five genes and environmental factors that jointly together play an important role in disease, such that the any subset of factors does not look important. When you've measured more than a million pieces of information about the human genome or the human body and are trying to put all that back together, it turns out there aren't enough computers in the world to enumerate all the possible five-way combinations. So this is an enormous challenge that we're facing in digging through the big data and looking for complex patterns. But I think the solution is to use our vast knowledge of biology and medicine to guide the computational in search. In other words, we need to be smart about how we conduct these analyses.
Sam Gambier, how do you view that problem, the problem of having all this data that maybe even the biggest, best computers, the Google computers, couldn't even crunch?
Yeah, I think that's a valid point, but I don't believe that the study will actually function in that fashion. One way to view this is a fishing expedition where you just gather all the data and don't inform with priors what you're going to do with that data. But as is stated, you know, the way to really do this and what we're doing is informing what to do with the data with what's currently biologically known. For example, we might know that certain biomarkers tend to go up early in a disease state in the blood. That becomes a prior in your model, knowing that those are more likely to be biomarkers of relevance. So instead of it becoming a fishing expedition, trying to connect all these points in space together, you really inform your decision-making with what's currently known about the biology. The challenge has always been, though, that we haven't been able to watch what's going on in the healthy state and have always been able to focus instead on the latter parts of disease. Now, with these biological and medical priors and having the measurements of healthy individuals, we think it's a solvable problem, at least for some diseases. Not all diseases, but for some diseases.
Let's take some phone calls as we talk about this Google baseline study. Gordon is in Florida. Hi there, Gordon.
Hi.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
My call.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just curious. I like the idea. It sounds really nice gathering all this data. but how are they going to go about gathering all this data, and how will they get people to participate?
That's a very good question. So, Sam Gambier?
Yes. So the way this study will proceed, it's actually a combination of individuals that will be recruited through Duke University and Stanford University. Those are the main two participating sites. And a lot of the people that will be recruited are through primary care, individuals that are seen on their normal healthy visits and are otherwise recruited because they're hearing about the study or are interested in what human health is and how it may proceed to disease. So we actually have multiple recruiting mechanisms to get people enrolled, if you will, but those are governed through very strict confidentiality issues of each individual through the Human Subject Protection Committees at both institutions. And the hope is by collecting information on thousands of such individuals that will essentially be volunteering to have their blood samples, to have other bodily fluid samples, to have their genome sequenced. The hope is that collection of that will proceed rapidly because many people will want to volunteer for the studies.
I think Lori in Phoenix has one of the next questions about what's going to happen with this data. Lori, go ahead.
Yes, I wondered if you could talk a little bit more about security issues related to this amount of personal health information being out there. How exactly, I'm familiar with human subject review boards at universities, having done research myself, how are you going to protect the identity of your subjects given the daily sad information we have that once stuff is out there and online, people seem to be able to access it?
And let's go ahead, Sam Gambier.
Yeah, no, I think these are very valid concerns and things we take very seriously as we work with Google, both the Duke and Stanford investigators. You know, as with all human research, privacy concerns, security concerns are very important. This is not something where everyone's information, non-anonymized, would be available on a website. It's all security coded so that there's no tracking of whose information one is looking at when one is doing these analyses about what information may be predictive of a given disease. So it's not that it's available in a de-anonymized fashion. It's all anonymized so that there's a key, and that key is not available to anyone, as is true for all or most human subject research that we do in universities. So I think a lot of those concerns are important, and we're doing everything we can to safeguard that the privacy issues of the data will be upheld.
I'm John Dankosky, and this is Science Friday from PRI Public Radio International. So, Jason Moore, let's say one of these big data projects, like this Google baseline study, finds an interesting biomarker for disease 10 years before you'll have the disease. Isn't that going to lead to more and more testing, more false positives, and so on? We've already talked a lot about over-screening in the United States. So what do you think about this?
Well, I think any biomarker found by this study, and there will certainly be biomarkers discovered by the project, and many of those I think will be useful. I think the key is to take them back and really do rigorous clinical trials, as we do with drugs, to really evaluate this information in a clinical setting to determine its usefulness before we roll it out to the public and provide it as tests through the clinic.
What are some other maybe cautions that you'd throw out there, Jason, to the public, as many people get excited about a big project like this Google baseline?
Well, I think the primary caution is that no one biomarker is going to be predictive of common complex diseases. It's going to be combinations of factors. I think the diagnostic tests for common diseases are going to take a while to develop and ultimately may not be that accurate. And one of the big unanswered questions is whether all this information will really be better than just knowing your family history and knowing how much you weigh and whether you smoke or not.
Mm. Sam Gambier, one of the hot areas in tech right now, especially at Google, is wearable technology, stuff that monitors heart rates and temperature. And Google is building a contact lens to measure glucose levels. How do all these wearables fit into this study?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. Eventually, the hope would be, of course, to be able to monitor all these biomarkers totally non-invasively. Google's not looking at this as a study for developing consumer-based wearables. The goal really is to study, you know, the normal variation in all these biomarkers. Now, as those devices like the contact lens technology you mentioned evolves, as other devices that are worn on the wrist and other areas evolve, hopefully they can be used by study participants and be informative in a continuous fashion. We would, of course, love to have such devices already that could measure everything about you, if you will, all the time. But right now, it's a more humble approach in saying that we have to sample you and bodily fluids at certain specific times. And then for some measurements that will be continuous, hopefully, and as devices evolve, we'll be able to also continuously measure you. And hopefully, as we learn more about, as was said, not one biomarker, but a panel of biomarkers that are accurate enough, those will be used then and retested in strict clinical trials to see just how valid they are before they're used in a real clinical setting.
Dr. Sam Gambier is a professor at Stanford University in Palo Alto, California. He's a collaborator on the Google Baseline Project. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks also to Jason Moore, who's a professor of genetics and a director of the Institute for Quantitative Biomedical Sciences at Dartmouth College in New Hampshire. Thank you very much, sir.